puns around food. Yay! I'm Lucy.
And I'm Jono.
And this week we're taking a little break for a James Bond special. So we're no longer symphonies and smacks, we're Bond and Buns. This week only.
Yeah, we've been thinking about Bond themes, past and present, thinking about some of our favourites, and messing around with the classic Bond theme a little bit.
Yeah. So, the theme of Bond. I had a point there and then I whacked my tea. So a Bond theme is a very important thing because you get the theme right and that controls the scoring for the whole film. It should take little snippets from the Bond theme throughout the film to create unity. So this year it's been done by Sam Smith, who I read an interview with him about it, and he was like, oh, I wrote the cockiest email ever. It was like, hey, any chance of me writing the Bond theme? And I was like, that's not the cockiest email ever written. That's just asking for a job.
Yeah, it's sending a job application. There's nothing unusual about that.
So shall we listen to a bit of the theme?
I think we should play a little bit just so people are all on the same page.
Yep. Right, here it is. This is Sam Smith, The Writing's on the Wall from Spectre.
I've been here before, but always hit the floor.
Rubbish rhyme.
I've spent a lifetime running, and I always get away. But with you, I'm feeling something that makes me want to stay. I'm prepared for this. I never should.
I'm bored of this now, I'm turning them off.
It is dull. That bit. And lots of the other bits as well.
Can I read the lyrics?
Some of them... Is inane the right word?
I've been told, I've read. I don't have a link. Oh, I've lost the lyrics. No. There they are. I read that they were aiming for a classic love song. So it goes, I've been here before, but always hit the floor. I've spent a lifetime running it, and I always get away. But with you, I'm feeling something that makes me want to stay. This is terrible. I'm prepared for this. I never shoot to miss. Who shoots to miss? Who?
Really bad assassins?
Yep. Rubbish ninjas.
I mean, Jason Bourne shoots to miss at one point, I think.
Oh, I'm not sure we should bring Bourne into this conversation.
Yeah, it's a whole can of words we don't really want to talk about.
Yeah. But I feel like a storm is coming. If I'm going to make it through the day, then there's no more use in running. There is something I got to face.
Ugh. That's not a rhyme.
Yeah. If I risk it all, could you break my fall? So that's the first bit. And then we should go to the chorus. Should we listen to the chorus? We should probably listen to it. If I can find the right bit.
How much can we legally play?
I think we're all right if we talk over it.
Fine.
In places and we critique it and we don't do enough that someone could nick it.
Yeah.
I think. I don't know. Right.
Tell me, is this where I give it all up?
and it's like, yeah, here we go. The orchestra's coming in. I can hear those horns approaching. And then, no, quiet piano bit again.
Yeah. What was going on with the sound there?
I'm not sure. I think it was at your end.
Oh, I thought it was yours. I don't know. What was I going to say? Diction.
It's Sam Smith. That's a hard thing to pick him up on because it's never going to be his strong point.
But he's a trained jazz singer and he trained for musicals.
Yes. And if you hear him live, actually they fix his diction a lot in production compared to his live performances.
Even. I've seen him live.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw him at Comic Relief. I had tickets. And I went on a corporate ticket, which is quite fun. And I saw him and John Legend, and they were doing a duet. And John Legend came in with a cracking bad note, like his voice went, and it was still a better performance than Sam Smith.
Yeah, he's I mean, obviously he has a vocal impediment in his speech, and he's a lot more easy to understand singing, and you know that's one of the ways he finds his confidence is in his singing.
Oh God!
Yeah,
I'm an awful person.
So I feel like it's a bit of a harsh thing to critique him on his diction.
No, I suppose that wasn't diction that I thought was a bit rubbish. Comic Relief. It was he never looked up. So he didn't communicate anything with the audience. It felt like a very selfish performance.
There's possibly his jazz training coming through. I found that with a lot of jazz people, that they're very introverted performers, which is not ideal. Van Morrison, quite famously, was rubbish at ever looking at anyone in the audience.
Also famously a git.
Yeah, just generally.
Like, my dad went to a couple of gigs of him where he refused to play Brown Eyed Girl because he doesn't do that anymore.
No. My dad has been to a Van Morrison gig and describes it as one of the most disappointing things he ever paid money for.
Yeah. I feel like I'm being relentlessly negative about this Sam Smith. Like, I really wanted to like it.
You go on.
I think Bond themes suffer from expectation.
Yeah.
So everyone puts this real hype on, like, that, you know, it's going to be the Bond theme, it's going to be this great thing, and then it's never going to live up to that. Like the reboot of Arrested Development, there was just too much hype.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you want me to tell you what I think about this?
Because yes.
I was listening to the last... I listened right through all the Daniel Craig era Bond themes just to see what's going on, because I think Bond themes are very much of their time in a lot of ways. You know, they sound like the popular music of their time. They often use people who are a bit flavour of the month.
Yeah.
So I was listening to some of the more recent ones, and I listened to Adele's one from Skyfall, the last movie, and then I listened to this one again, and I noticed that they have a striking similarity in terms of structure. It's almost as if Sam Smith and whoever helped him write this had sort of listened to Adele, paused it, said, great, we need to do that bit, let's put some new words there, hit play again, okay, good, that's a never bit, let's put some words there. So I noticed they both start with a sort of orchestral moment.
Should we play them side by side?
Yeah. They're also almost exactly the same length. There's only 2 seconds difference.
Really?
Yeah. I went deep on this.
That's proper analysis. That's why we pay you the big bucks.
Going with my analysis, do you want to cue those up?
It's whether this is going to play with an advert. Oh, yeah, it is.
Let's listen to the advert and cut it out in production.
No, I've muted.
Ooh, clever you. Okay, so
what? Which one do you want me to start with?
Let's start with Adele, because we've listened to Sam Smith already.
Okay.
So we start with a big orchestral moment, which goes into a little piano bit, and then the first verse comes in. And the first verse is basically voice and pianos, maybe a little bit of background strings and bass, but it's basically a vocals plus piano performance for the first verse.
This is the end. Hold your breath and count to 10.
Do you know what I've realised?
Yeah.
Is I've never listened to the beginning of that.
Really? Okay. Play the beginning of Sam Smith again and notice the similarities.
Okay, so that was the Adele.
So orchestral sweep into piano and then bad rhymes. Yeah. In my opinion, I don't want Sam Smith people to lynch me.
I've been here before. Hit the floor.
Bloody hell, you're right.
Yep. They then both run straight into their second verse, where they add the sort of Bondy orchestration. Strings, that twangy guitar bit in the Adele, the bass part, it gets a bit bigger.
So where does it start on the Adele? What's the lyric?
I can't remember.
Hi. Right, I'm going to start this a minute in.
I've drowned and dreamt this moment.
So this is verse 2 now, yeah.
Hmm?
That's verse 2 now. That's in verse 2 that you can hear. The strings have come in to accompany the piano with that sort of classic Bond orchestra feel.
Right.
And it's a
so overdue I owe the
moment and over. Ugh.
Swept away, I'm stolen.
So she also has the pre-chorus,
yeah.
Which Sam Smith has.
Sam
which
Smith,
is those
the one
two
major difference is Sam Smith, he's a really quiet high part, which doesn't really have a direct analogue in Adele's, but other than that, they're pretty much the same structurally. They get biggest at that first chorus.
Yeah.
Then there's a. They both have a sort of an orchestral interlude. Verse mm-hmm. 3 has the same texture as verse 2. Then there's
yep.
a chorus. And then they both have a sort of breakdown section. Adele has backing vocals at this point, Sam Smith doesn't. But.
Whereabouts is this?
This is about 3:20 in both of them. Both of them at this point have a big melody enter on the horns.
So is this from Where You Go? Right.
Yeah, about that.
So 3:20 on both of them.
About that. You might need to fiddle around.
So here's the Adele.
We will stand tall. When the sky falls. When you come home.
Okay.
Okay, and then try about 3:20 in the Sam Smith.
Right. Right.
So it seems to me that Sam Smith has done the same thing as Adele, but his just doesn't feel as Bondy. I think Adele's orchestration feels much more like she's using a real orchestra. To me, Sam Smith's strings sound like they've been added in production on Pro Tools using a MIDI keyboard?
I don't think they sound like MIDI. So for people listening who don't know, MIDI is kind of synthetic. And it stands for Musical Instrument Digital Interface. I had to learn that at A level. I think it sounds very now.
Yes.
The strings in Sam Smith. It sounds post... who's the band that's got the strings in the mid, in the beginning? Those people.
Yes.
I've forgotten their name.
Clean Bandit. I just said it.
Clean Bandit. Yeah. It sounds a bit post Clean Bandit.
But it
still winds me up about that Clean Bandit track.
Rather be, yeah.
That they move from the strings to the digital sounds. Why don't they have the guts to stick with the strings longer?
The strings come back later on in that track. They do the same theme on an electric piano sort of sound.
Yeah, I think they should have stuck it out longer. So basically what you're suggesting, in a way that might get us sued and might get the wrath of Sam Smith fans on us, is that he looked at the structure of the Adele and went, that works, that'll do?
No, I'm not saying he stole it directly from Adele at all. I would never imply such a thing. If we had lawyers on this show, they'd be desperately handing pieces of paper to me right now. All I'm saying is that they're remarkably similar songs structurally, and particularly the way the structure dictates the texture at particular points throughout the song. And I've had a listen back to some other Bond themes, and these two are quite similar structurally. It might just be that because they're both at this time, that's a sort of contemporary way of doing things.
Maybe. Or is it trying to recreate the Goldfinger type?
Yeah, but Goldfinger, the orchestration is different.
Yeah.
And it's the similarities. So when I said the structure dictates the texture, specifically the orchestration is what I meant. It's a better word than texture. The orchestration follows the structure very similarly throughout these two pieces. The difference being that Sam Smith has his sort of come down section before he goes into his choruses, where he goes up really high and what would I do? Or whatever it is.
Yeah.
The rhyming makes me think of Bryan Adams. Everything I do it for you. You know, it's fantastic.
Yeah. So, I have an interview that he did with Lisa Mazimba.
BBC.
You won't particularly have the same love of Lisa Mazimba.
I was here while he was doing news round. I was in the country at that point. Came home, saw him on the TV.
He's always been on news round. Well, not like...
No, these days he's not.
Yeah. But, yeah. Which says that Sam Smith wrote the Bond theme in 20 minutes. Why would you say that in an interview?
Yeah, it's an interesting thing to claim. It's not the... It doesn't make you sound that dedicated, to be honest, to the theme. It's interesting, you know...
Says it was written in 20 minutes. What he really means is he sat down at a piano, or however he writes his songs, and wrote the tune. Mm. And the chorus, maybe.
Yeah.
That orchestration was not done in 20 minutes. Orchestration.
But I feel like what I said before about that being production stuff stands there. He probably didn't have much to do with that.
Yeah.
He knocked some chords and lyrics together, like you said. I mean, it's also credited on the writing to James Napier, who's known as Jimmy Napes.
He related to Jack Napier?
I'm not sure. But he's worked with people, including Disclosure. He's worked with Sam Smith before. He's worked with Clean Bandit, interestingly. So.
Bad, I just sneaked in bad Batman jokes.
Hmm?
isn't even funny.
So
he's worked with who?
According to his Wikipedia page, Disclosure, Sam Smith, Clean Bandit, and Mary J. Blige.
Oh, so when I said Clean Bandit, I was actually onto something.
Yeah, so that Clean Bandit sound is probably associated with him. Just trying to see what he's actually done with Clean Bandit. Yeah, Rather Be, this track you were talking about, he's on that.
Just celebrating my genius.
You are genius.
Yep. Okay. So we've talked about this theme, touched slightly on others. What do you expect from a Bond theme?
I expect lush orchestration, and this, to be fair, does deliver that. I expect you at some point to have to crowbar in the name of the film.
Oh, it's my favourite.
Yeah, although, you know, that's often done better than at other places. I expect...
What's the best one for that?
I
think Goldfinger's the best, because she's talking about a man called Goldfinger.
Yeah, the one Madonna did, which was that...
Die Another Day.
That's, I guess I'll just die another day. Yeah, I didn't really like that at all. That's probably one of the worst.
The one with the ice hotel.
Yeah.
And the fencing.
And the invisible car.
No, I don't think it was the invisible car.
It's the last Pierce Brosnan one. That's the one with the invisible car. You're checking it out now, but you know I'm right.
I'm going to fact check. Lucy looks things up. I don't know. James Bond. Damn it!
I'm right! Because they had a chase around the ass hotel using the invisible car. The invisibility, I think, stopped working at some point.
What's the one with the self-driving car? That's what I was thinking of.
That is Pierce Brosnan.
That is a Bronholm one, yeah.
I feel like that's Tomorrow Never Dies. That's the one with the Asian Asian Bond girl and the stealth ship, isn't it? And like the fashion
with the Admiral.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's Tomorrow Never Dies has the self-driving car. Which you use your mobile phone. It was a BMW or something, wasn't it?
It wasn't good enough to be a Bond car.
It was German. That was part of the issue. Bond drives. It's a modified BMW 7. And then to actually make it work, they had a steering wheel hidden behind the back seat so you could get shots of the front seat with nobody in them.
Well, yeah. So that was a terrible one. Tomorrow Never Dies was a good thing.
That was Sheryl Crow. I can't really remember that one.
Yeah.
But that one, it feels so 90s. Like, it is just that one. And then the next one, The World World Is Not Enough, which was by Garbage. Those just feel like the 90s. That's what I was saying earlier about Bond themes being of their time.
Yeah. Well, I think part of the problem that we have now is people are trying to recreate the heyday of Bond rather than just writing a decent song.
But I think part of it is to do with the fact that it's not been explicitly said so, but the Daniel Craig Bonds are basically a relaunch, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because they got Casino Royale.
Casino Royale was sort of his Bond for the first time.
And then but it's also, that's the first in the series, and somebody else owned the rights for years and years and years.
Yeah, because there was a spoof movie made with that name, which is weird. Going on from that, basically, it's sort of, in a geeky way, said everything before Casino Royale is a bit non-canon, or a bit like those were old Bonds in a Doctor Who sort of way, and this is the current Bond. And I think... they sort of started going a different direction in the songs, because You Know My Name from Casino Royale, which I think is one of my favourite Bond themes ever.
Really, I thought
that was Another terrible. Way to Die. They're both sort of heavier, rockier songs, and they don't have the big strings and everything, but I really, particularly You Know My Name, I really liked them as songs.
Shall we go on to You Know My Name? Do you have a clip of that to play? Because we're both going to bring our favourite Bond themes.
Yep, I have it here. Yep. Or I had it here.
If you take life, do you know what you'll give? Odds are you won't like what it is. When the storm arrives, would you be seen with me? By the merciless eyes I've deceived. I've seen angels fall from
So that was from Casino Royale, You Know My Name.
Do you know
name.
What it's missing? Mm-hmm. Which is some like one of my favourite Bond theme things.
Yeah.
Is trying to weave the actual Bond music into it.
Yeah, but they have, if you listen to those opening chords, they have sort of got that feel. And the chorus also has that sort of big band feel to it, which does add a little bit in. But I think that particularly harks back to Live and Let Die in the way it's put together. If you sort of big guitar-y intro, and then it sort of goes down a little bit with some vocals, and then hits the chorus heavy with the guitars again.
It's just a lot more generic than Live and Let Die.
Yeah.
So Live and Let Die is the theme that I've brought with me. Let me just find where I've put it. So that's by Paul McCartney and Wings. Mm. And I'd like to talk about why this theme is great. Which is basically, somebody went to Paul McCartney, "You can have an orchestra." And he went, "Ooh." So, I've cut the clip. I don't know if it will work if I talk over it. So the opening is, yes, this is a Bond theme. And then all hell breaks loose.
Say live and let die.
Because why not have a reggae breakdown in a Bond theme?
Yeah. It's just like, you just throw all the things out of it. And there's a little sound effect. You know the noise that I suddenly made when you said
you can have an orchestra. It's in there. There's a little bit that goes, ooh.
I've never noticed that.
You will now.
I won't be able to get away from it, yeah.
Ooh. Yeah. And, yeah.
So that's my favourite theme. But I think it's my favourite because it's so bonkers. And it's the exact opposite to the Casino Royale theme.
I sort of limited myself to themes in my lifetime. The ones I remember from when I sort of started being able to see Bond in the cinema, the ones that stuck with me when I came out of the cinema. And the one that was stuck with me the most was You Know My Name. And I thought, you know, if that's something I've remembered, you know, when was that? That was 2005 or something? I can't remember.
So was that Casino Royale?
Casino Royale. 2006 was Casino Royale. And, you know, of the films.
Right. So this is the time to take a break. The point where we would talk about food, but Bond doesn't really eat a lot. He just drinks, really. He's just a nasty man and an alcoholic who goes around killing people. Is that right?
That's about right. Yeah, that sums him up fairly well.
If I were doing the puns, which I keep saying I'm not, I mean, there's a lot to go for. There's the man with golden bun. Moon Pie Raker. What's this one called? Spectre. I've got nothing for Spectre.
Yeah, the puns are definitely your strong point compared to mine. I feel like I should have like a sort of buzzer every time you make a bad one.
Another day for pie.
I mean, Weird Al wanted to do Live and Let Die as Chicken Pot Pie, but Paul McCartney wouldn't give him permission.
Live and Eat Pie.
Live and Eat Pie?
Yep.
The number of ones with pie in them, with die in the title rather, makes pie puns quite easy.
Oh yeah, I love a pie pun.
Pie Another Day? Pie Another Day?
Yep.
Tomorrow Never Pies? That doesn't quite work. Tomorrow Never Pies doesn't quite work.
Tomorrow Have Some Pies.
Yeah.
No, I think I'm out for now. And I also set you a drinks challenge this week, didn't I?
Well, it wasn't specifically drinks. It was just an ordering challenge.
So shall I get up the actual message?
You read out what you told me and maybe read my response back.
Oh no, I'm on to... Okay. Your food challenge for Bond and Buns. Record yourself in different places ordering like Bond. It can be coffee or harder, but has to be ridiculously precise and innuendo-laden. So that was my challenge.
Yeah.
And then you sent back, seriously, okay, I'll give it a shot.
Yes. And I did. I gave it two shots. Because...
Did you have two shots before doing it?
I did not have two shots, but I did have a rather nice dark ale, which I'd put half of into a stew I was making, so I had to finish it off. But that's beside the point. Yes, I started at coffee, and yep. I thought I'd done a really good job. I thought, you know, I'd been really specific. What I thought I'd done was ordered coffee and specified that I wanted it black, not white. You know, as in shaken, not stirred. And I thought I'd been good about, like, making a stirring pun with the sugar as well. But when I listened back to the recording of myself that I'd made, it came out something like this. Good morning. Coffee, please. Black, no sugar. Which is just someone ordering coffee. I completely failed.
You just sound really rude.
Yeah, that's basically how I felt doing it. I thought, you know what? I sound like I'm got no manners at all.
Did you wear a suit?
I did not wear a suit, no.
That's where you went wrong.
This is radio. I could pretend to be wearing a suit. No one would know.
Oh, but you wouldn't exude the suit confidence.
I exude suit confidence all the time. I'm just that good.
Right.
Anyway, my marginally more successful attempt came later when I went to the cinemas, not to see Bond, because it wasn't out yet. And let me just see if I can cue this up.
Should I feed at the cinema?
It wasn't drinking this time.
Okay.
Let's see. Why the hell did I put this? Sorry, I got to find. I had to queue up, set my recorder going, so there's about a minute and a half of just crowd noise while I'm in the queue. I would normally never buy food at the cinema, but for this challenge, I gave it a shot. Hi there. Regular popcorn, please. Salted, not sweet. Oh yeah, salted, not sweet.
This is a really poor shot.
This was terrible. And then I was at work and not able to order food because that's not how I eat during the week. And I was desperately this morning thinking, can I get one in? But I didn't. So, yeah, I think I failed. And Lucy will now set me a forfeit because of my failure.
Will I?
Yeah, think one up and we can cut it up nicely.
Oh, what is your forfeit?
I can't think of forfeits.
Yeah, that just...
That's something else while I'm background processing that.
That just occurred to me as I was speaking there that it would be fair, seeing as I think I've probably failed this challenge.
Well, I think also there's a reason why I set you this challenge, not me, which is if you are a young woman and you order something in a very precise way, generally, no one will think anything of it, and B, they might pay for the drink.
it's not something I've ever experienced personally.
No, but it, you know,
there are very few benefits to the patriarchy, and having my drinks paid for every now and again is one of them. And I shouldn't admit that.
But also, if you order very precisely, you're Sally from When Harry Met Sally.
Yeah, fair enough. I see where you're coming from there.
It's not cool and it's not Bond. It's, you know, what do I always like? I know I order like that. I'll have the chicken enchilada without the refried beans. Or I'll have this without that. And, you know,
yeah.
It's When Harry Met Sally.
Yeah. Okay. Well... Last week, I did eat corned beef. So, succeed there. This week, I came overall a bit cringy and didn't have the guts to carry through with the full Bond.
I think maybe the world just isn't ready for an Aussie Bond.
I think the accent does count against me a little bit.
That's why Hugh Jackman never got the part.
Yeah, and that's why George Lazenby only got to do it once.
Yeah.
That and also he was terrible.
Should we talk about our other challenge for the week?
Yes, and this is more of a competitive challenge.
Yes. So, what we decided to do was to go away and rescore part of the Bond theme. Mm-hmm. So, the part that we were rescoring was... I just need to find it. I had prepared. And then I ignored my preparation. That's the one. So we decided to rescore the opening trumpet flare from the Bond theme, which goes like this. Right.
No.
Huh?
I rescored the next bit.
Which bit did you rescore? Because I did it based on that.
Ba ba ba. Ba da 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 da. Da 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 da. That bit, yeah, that's the bit I did.
If we just sing the whole thing. So do you want to go first or second?
Why don't you go first? Because I've already failed one challenge.
Right, so we were going to have somebody to judge these, but we don't. So we're going to leave it maybe open to social media at Symphony Snack. We'll tweet them as well. So
we need some official tweets to say who wins as well. Some words.
Maybe just, I don't have anything.
I think tweet hashtag #OOL if Lucy's wins and hashtag #OOJ if mine wins.
So ooj or ooh.
Yeah, but with zeros, not O's.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So this is mine. So I did part of the opening.
So there were two things that I was going for with that. The first is, his name is Bond.
Yep.
Yep. And the second is, he's not a nice man. So, I felt like the original isn't sinister enough. So I took the original and did that.
Brilliant. Mine's...
And all the Bonds are in that.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you want to hear mine?
Should we maybe talk about the processes we used?
Yeah, sure.
So I did that all with the electronics on a program called the Sound Loom, which is the program made by the Composer's Desktop Project, which is led by Trevor Wishart, who we've talked about in previous episodes. The piece that Rosie thought I hated it because I chose.
Red Bird, was it?
Yeah, it was Redbird. So I took the original theme and then did a stack of five. So I stacked five of them, one on top of the other, without any displacement. But then I also added a transposition. So I did the same thing, but lower on each part. So they were harmonising with themselves. And then I took all of the Bonds, you know, my name's Bond, James Bond, and put them into a texture. And then just layered it all.
Yeah.
That's what I did.
That's quite cool. I remember doing all of that when I used to work on Sound Loom.
Because also, I decided to limit myself to 20 minutes. Because that's all that Sam Smith spent on it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty good for 20 minutes.
Yeah, I'm quite proud.
Also, I mean, just to find all those samples, to stick them all together like that.
Oh, someone had done a super cup.
Oh, okay.
So then I just separated their super cup into their constituent parts.
I would have drunk walked through the super cut.
Ooh.
That would have been fun.
And then I also modulated them down so he sounds more sinister as it goes along. Because he's not a nice man, he's a murderer.
And what's the word? Starts with philanderer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a misogynist.
And a drunkard.
Yep. Right.
But also a patriot. But also a patriot. He loves his country. I'm not sure if that's a good or a bad thing, to be honest.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Ooh. Right, it's your turn.
Me? Mine's going to sound less impressive because mine is written out in score, so you're going to get a sort of software realization of what should sound like real strings.
Okay.
So that was that. Could you hear that?
Oh, so how did you get to that?
So I took that little theme that's 8 bars long, da 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 da, and I rescored that exactly as it is for string quartet. And then, because it was a theme, I wrote some theme and variations using an algorithm I've developed for creating variations, which basically extends rhythms, shifts the pitches around a little bit, and makes weird things happen from time to time. Because this is quite short, there doesn't really get a lot of time for it to develop into some of the weirder areas where this algorithm can take stuff over a longer piece. But we're beginning to hear... You could still discern the theme there, but it was moving further and further away from where it started. In some ways, I think, gets quite sinister like yours, although that wasn't in my mind at any point when I was writing it.
I've started just telling people that I'm aiming for for sinister, because I can't write anything that doesn't sound sinister. I've tried. I've really tried. But it always sounds like that.
So, yeah, that's my theme and variations on the ba-ba-ba from James Bond.
So, if you like Jonos, that's 00J, hashtag 00J. And if you like my far superior creation... That's 00L. I'm going to play mine again. Just, you know, to get it more exposure. Yeah.
Oh, this feels rigged.
My name's Bond.
James Bond.
My name is Bond.
James Bond.
James Bond.
My name is Bond.
James Bond.
James Bond.
James Bond.
Bond.
James Bond.
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 James.
James. James.
My name is Bond.
I'm here to win.
Yours is certainly louder. I like to feel I did some real composition, though. I got a page of notes and stuff here.
How dare you?
No, obviously I'm joking.
I don't use notes anymore.
No, I know you don't. I still quite like them. Yeah. In their old-fashioned sort of way.
Well, especially since I upgraded my operating system and my scoring software broke.
Since you can't actually write scores on a computer anymore and
yeah.
You don't like doing them by hand.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. I like dots, but I like inventing ways to tell myself what notes to actually write rather than just having to think. So that was mine was algorithmically done, which is sort of what I do anyway.
Have we missed anything?
Let's check. No.
Gosh.
Let's talk predictions for the Bond film. I saw a poster today. I know this is kind of steering away from...
what we're supposed to do on this podcast.
Ooh. Oh, sorry, that's something unplugging and plugging back in on my computer.
Okay. So I saw a poster today. It had Bond looking Bondish. It had a woman dressed in a nightie. I'm pretty sure it was a nightie. And then it had a big skeleton head.
Yes, I think from the trailers I've seen, that's related to the symbol of Spectre.
I haven't been watching any trailers because for very big films, I avoid them.
Yeah,
because
I've not seen full trailers.
Hmm?
I've not seen full trailers, but I've seen bits on the news and stuff. You can't really spot things. I think the skeleton head's actually supposed to be an octopus.
What?
A scary octopus. Look it up.
My friend's little boy was asked the other day how many legs an octopus had, and he went, all of the legs!
It does. No, that's quite true. I'd agree with him. It does have all of the legs.
all of the legs.
Yeah.
So I think Bond is going to kill some people.
Yeah. He'll probably drink a cocktail, a martini-based cocktail.
Right. He's going to mourn the loss of after what happened in the last film. I don't know if that's too much of a spoiler.
Yeah, it is a spoiler only if people haven't been paying attention to Bond for the last 4 years.
I haven't seen the last film, but I know it.
Okay. I was going to say, if people who are interested in James Bond don't know what happened in the last James Bond, what on earth have you been doing? And if people aren't interested in James Bond, they're probably not too worried about spoilers anyway. But,
do you know why I didn't go to see it?
Why not?
Because I decided to go and see Les Mis again.
So what, you're at the cinema to get a Bond ticket and you thought, you know what? Hugh Jackman singing. That's more my style at the moment.
I was like, I've seen Les Mis once. I really enjoyed it. I think I'll see it again.
Yeah, fair enough.
I'd take the risk.
I mean, Hugh Jackman singing is not too bad, actually. It's more the Russell Crowe high notes, which...
Hugh Jackman is a musicals guy. He is a song and dance man.
He's from musical theatre. Some of the Valjean songs were stretching his range slightly, I think. But
well, because Valjean's a tenor and Hugh Jackman's a baritone.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I think Russell Crowe had a bad rap.
I think it just wasn't his genre.
I think Russell Crowe did fine as the character, and most of Javert is reasonably low-pitched. He's a proper baritone part. It's the only part I can sing in Les Mis. But there were some high notes, which... They were very ambitious in the way they chose to film that film, and I applaud them for it, by getting the actors to sing live and not doing it in a studio later.
I think if Russell Crowe were to sing a rock song, it would sound fine.
Yes, and from what I've heard from the cast kind of on that film, Russell Crowe was amazing to work with, because he basically had the whole cast around his house every night doing sing-alongs, so...
Oh.
Yeah.
And, well, I mean, it's like, to bring it back to Bond a bit...
Yeah, we got sidetracked.
When Pierce Brosnan did Mamma Mia...
Okay, yeah.
And he did...
I have had that inflicted on me. I have had that inflicted on me.
Let me find the clip. When he does SOS... Which is my favourite bit.
Where are those happy days? They seem so hard to find. I try to reach for you, but you have closed your mind. Whatever happened to our love? I wish I understood. It used to be so nice, it used to be so good.
James Bond singing ABBA.
But that's not the best bit.
No?
Yep. So later on in the song, this happens.
When you're gone, how can I even try to go on? When you're gone,
when you're gone,
what time how can I carry on?
So, I think we can all agree that SOS doesn't suit his voice.
No.
But later in the film, he does, was it Here's to Us?
I bow to your superior knowledge of Mamma Mia.
When all is said and done. When he, so right at the end, he sings a toast called When All Is Said and Done.
Birds of passage, you and me, we fly instinctively. When the summer's over and the dark clouds hide the sun, neither you nor I'm to
is said and done.
So that's fine.
Yeah, it suits you much more.
Because it's a different style, it's a bit more folky, and he's got a folk voice. Is my theory. So, my theory with Russell Crowe, to bring all this back together, is Russell Crowe can sing.
I think that's fair enough. And we got onto this from predictions about Bond somehow.
Yes, he's going to sing One Day More, halfway through.
Yeah. Okay, is that a prediction? You were talking about spoilers about not giving away what happened at the end of Skyfall, and you said that Bond would be down and sad about that.
And troubled, and needs someone who cares.
I feel like he'll break some expensive equipment and really annoy the new Q.
Really annoy Paddington Bear.
Yeah. Yeah. Who, he's not a spoiler, because he was in the whole of the last film as well.
Yep.
John Cleese was fired and this guy was brought in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So those are the predictions. I think yours are slightly more achievable than mine.
What about number of different countries he has to visit? Shall I take a sort of spread bet on that or something?
Six.
Six? I'll go eight. I'll go higher.
Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, the last one had him jetting off to Hong Kong and then all over the place for reasons. And of course, you can always throw in a gratuitous country just with the opening stunt.
No, he's just going to do that in Manchester.
Predictions on the opening stunt?
Manchester Ship Canal.
Yep.
On a barge.
Okay.
Yep.
Anything specific on a barge?
Water skiing.
Water skiing behind a rocket-propelled barge along the Manchester Ship Canal.
Yeah.
Being chased by bad guys.
The barge is painted like the one in Rosie and Jim.
Yeah, that's just a normal canal barge, but it's got rocket engines on it. And he's being chased by bad guys running along the towpath, presumably.
No, ducks. Angry ducks.
Angry ducks.
Yeah.
Are those related to angry birds? I guess they are a type of angry bird.
Yeah.
Fair enough. I'm going to say there's going to be a hang glider chase scene at the start, but it'll be realistic, so they'll all be moving very slowly and going around in circles while they try and catch the thermals to get higher. And no one will be able to shoot because they'll be hanging on too high, so they'll just be sort of circling. Filmed at Mam Tor, where they love to go hang gliding.
Mm.
To keep it British.
Yes. Have you heard the alternative recording of Goldfinger?
I have not heard the alternative recording of Goldfinger. I have a feeling I'm about to.
This is Ringo's attempt at Goldfinger.
Ringo as in Ringo Starr?
Yes.
This is very serious.
Does he sing?
It's a finger. Hey, don't shoot me, I'm just a bloody singer. Some folks like them bronze, others like them silver, but this man loves his gold. It is his favourite finger. Gold finger.
What name is that? And how do you know about it?
I told friend of the show, Rosie Fletcher, that we were doing a Bond episode, and she sent me that.
At the start, I swear it's about to go into Thomas the Tank Engine, which is obviously appropriate given Ringo Starr.
Yeah, it's... I wish it was really Ringo. That's Peter Serafinowicz.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
How convinced were you?
I was reasonably convinced. I'm not hearing it at the best quality, I'm sure, through Skype and so forth, but
I think we've probably run out of things to talk about, haven't we?
I think we've hit our checklist and then had a massive diversion around Les Mis as well.
That's what I bring to the table.
Yeah.
So Let's do follows. We should have a snappy title for when we do that bit, shouldn't we?
For followers.
Follow and feed.
Yeah.
No. I'll get there.
Food and feedback.
Food and feedback.
You can follow the show at Symphony Snack on Twitter. We're getting better at tweeting now that there's two of us potentially who could do it. We do like to hear feedback. You can tweet us directly. Also tweet 00J or 00L for the theme that you want to win. And please leave reviews on iTunes. If you're downloading the podcast from there, we would like to have some reviews. Good or bad, we can improve. We know this is shambolic. Yeah. Jono, last week you got your own Twitter handle wrong.
Yeah, that's a different username I use in a different place. Sorry about that. Anyone who's tried to follow me at Aussie Jono doesn't exist. Well, it might do, but it's not me. I'm at Jono Firth.
Mm-hmm.
All one word, F-I-R-T-H.
Right.
And if you hunt around the Symphonies and Snacks Twitter, I'm sure you'll find me tweeting at Symphonies and Snacks sometimes as well. So.
Great. And I'm at L.A. Harrison Music on Twitter. Can't say I've been doing anything very interesting this week. Live tweet alongs of The Apprentice? Yeah, that's about it. Thank you for listening, and we will play the Bond theme out.
Thank you, and goodbye.